All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, July 18th, 2011.
Keep in mind that Jesus Christ has died for us and his brother.
Why is that song in my head? I still remember the guy who sang it back when I was a lad and I went to church. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to tell you guys that shit. I was actually an altar boy. I dressed up like a little angel. And I sat there and I rang the bells. And I, what did I hold? I held some sort of something when people took communion. I hold that little gold spatula. In case, I don't know what, the little wafer fell out. That represented the flesh of another human being, which if you really look at it, is pretty fucking disgusting. This is the Monday Morning Podcast, and I'm taping this Sunday night. I'm recording this by myself in a hotel room in wonderful downtown San Jose. I just wrapped up my weekend at the San Jose Improv, obviously. It's not like I'd be working the one in Houston if I was in San Jose. You ever just hate yourself? I just really hated myself in that moment for even attempting to make that joke. Oh, fuck you. Are all your jokes good? Huh? Is this the Monday Morning Every Fucking Joke is Funny podcast? I never said that. You got to have the bad ones so that you can compare them to the good ones. You wouldn't know what a fucking good joke was if I didn't tell such a bad joke there, right? So stand down, mister. Huh? You're all grumpy at me? Because you forgot to crack your windows and now you're sitting there in your car and your dashboard is all fucking hot. You're all heated up, so now you're giving me shit. I don't need it, buddy. I don't fucking need it. So anyways, beautiful downtown San Jose. And it's a really lovely town. It's a town that really, I don't know, there's a big time misdirection with this town. It's because it looks like Mayberry, but you can get fucked up at 10 in the morning in San Jose. And this is, I don't have any evidence of that. That's just the vibe. I don't know what it is. They got all these great stores, all these great restaurants. They have a trolley. Okay? I'm a classic white guy. Nothing makes a white guy feel safe like a trolley. The second we see a trolley, I don't know. We start picturing butterflies and flowers and a gazebo, maybe. You got a trolley. That's quaint. You know? How am I going to get fucked up in such a quaint atmosphere? Well, I don't know. I don't understand San Jose. They have a fucking homeless problem out here, the likes of which I haven't seen since the last time I went to San Francisco, which is oddly right up the street.
Maybe they took the trolley over.
Ah, that really made me laugh. I hope you enjoyed it, because I sure did. I'll tell you something right now. You know, fucking San Francisco and San Jose have some of the dirtiest, most filthiest fucking homeless people I've ever seen in my life. I was talking about this on stage tonight. I might as well share it with you, right? I understand you're homeless, you live outside. I understand that you're going to be dirty, but these fucking people, it's like they walked out of the Dust Bowl. It doesn't seem possible to be as dirty as these people. It's like dirt. It's not grime from the city. They have like clay on their face. They look like Boxcar Willie, like old school homeless. Like, it's like they walk outside the city. They find a bunch of dirt. Is that my phone ringing? It's probably somebody telling me to shut the fuck up. I'm being too loud. Watch this. Hello? Hey, I'm doing the podcast. I thought you were the person in the next room over telling me to shut up. Say hello to the podcast listeners. Did you guys hear that? I couldn't even tell. All right, let me call you when I'm done with this shit. Okay, all right. Bye-bye. I could have hit pause. Anyways, I was talking about those dirty, filthy-ass fucking homeless people. It's like they go outside the city. They go into the woods, and they just roll around in dirt, and then they come back in. They're fucking horrific looking. But I had such a great time here. I'm telling you, you got to come down if you're anywhere near San Jose, downtown San Jose, now that I've shit all over it. The Improv, it's at this beautiful old theater. I remember last time I was here, they were saying how old it was, how Charlie Chaplin used to perform there, and, you know, Buster Keaton and all these guys. So, and of course, it's haunted, right? They're always haunted. But no one can ever get it on video. So anyways, I don't know. Just amazing crowd showed up all week, and I had a great fucking time out of it. But I got to tell you, this place creeps me out. You know, I took a walk. There's this great new drum shop out here. San Jose Pro Drum Shop, I believe. I went down there, and it was like a mile away from my hotel. So I decide, all right, I'm kind of sick of working out. Jesus, look at the fucking tits on her. Wow. Wow. Jesus Christ. Who the fuck is that? It's Kate Upton. Who the fuck is Kate Upton? Channel 112. Sorry, I got the TV on in the background. What a fucking wreck. Oh, God bless her. Jesus Christ. Anyways, let me talk about what's on the TV here. Planet of the Apes, the prequel is on. Is coming out. It's coming out in fucking, I don't know, in August. And I was all excited to see this goddamn movie. Remember when I hyped it a few fucking months ago and I was saying how insane this looks and how I can't wait to see it and guaranteed it was going to be a blockbuster? Then I found out it was PG-13. And I was like, you got to be a shit. How the fuck are apes taking over the world, PG-13? Can somebody explain that to me? I was saying that to Nia. I go, I don't want to see it now. She goes, what do you mean you don't want to see it? I go, I don't want to see it. She goes, why? I go, because it's PG-13. She goes, so what? I go, it should be rated R. She goes, Jesus Christ, what do you want to see? Monkeys fucking? I butchered it. I wish she had said it on the podcast. It would have been the line of the fucking week. But can you guys back me on that one? I'm still going to go see it. But that means, like, rather than having, like, showing what a monkey can do to you. You saw what happened to that lady. She got her face ripped off. They're not going to show that now because it's PG-13. They fucking alligator armed it because they want to try to get families to go out and go see it. Can we make the apes a little less angry? Can we just, this is like the industry notes. They probably showed up with this awesome rated R fucking script. And then the goddamn suits just butchered the shit out of it. I'd like to say something. I'd like to contribute something, even though I don't have something to add. I just feel like this meeting's going to come to a close. And if I don't speak at this moment, there's no way for me to justify my desk. Ah, they've ruined it. You fucking cunts. Anyways, I'm still going to go see it. Can somebody, any listener out there, please explain to me how if apes overran the fucking world, how the hell that would be PG-13? Even if they just showed the footage on the news, you would have that guy going, just to warn you, this is very graphic. You'd cut it to a bunch of people getting their fucking faces ripped off. PG-13. Let me guess, there's going to be one nice ape, right? It's going to save James Franco. Then they're going to probably sing a duet by the end of it. That's a PG-13 movie. You know, have some fucking balls, PG-13. That's pussy rated R. All right? And if I was ever elected, okay? If I was ever elected, that's one of the first things I would do away with. Aside from hunting down bankers, I would have like legal, you know, I have like deer hunting season. I would have like banker. You don't kill him. You just shoot him in the ass with a BB gun. Just something. Some sort of a pushback on our side. So anyways, what the fuck was I talking about here? Oh, San Jose. So I'm out here. I'm having a great time. There's dirty, filthy fucking homeless people. So that's right. Let me meander back to where the hell I was about 5 minutes ago. So I'm on my way over to the San Jose Pro Drum Shop, and I see that it's like a mile away. All right? So I'm not into working out anymore. I think it's fucking stupid. I'm into exercising, staying active, stretching, walking, that type of shit. But sitting there lifting weights or going on an elliptical for an hour doesn't make any goddamn sense to me. I think in the short run it makes you look good, but all you're doing is wearing out your joints. You know? If you quit eating quarter pounder with cheese, you don't have to fucking go on that thing. Look at people back in the day, how goddamn skinny they were. They didn't have any ellipticals. They fucking ran around outside with their dog till it got rabies. And then they stuck it in an outhouse, and eventually they made the oldest kid shoot it for some fucking reason. That's what they did. They didn't sit around eating cookies the size of your face. So anyways, I'm like, this shit's only like, I don't know, like a mile away. So I'll walk over there. I'll see what they got. And then I'll walk back. That'll be a 2 mile walk, and then I'll go get a salad like a fag, and that'll be my day. I'll be all right. So I walk over there. I don't have any problems. All right? Have a great time. Fucking drum shop is beautiful. All kinds of people over there helping me out. Had a great fucking time. Bought some drumsticks, and I left. And on the way back, I'm on the phone. I'm making some calls. I'm making some moves because I'm a player, right? I'm calling whatever. I'm talking to some fucking person trying to figure out why I didn't have more media here in San Jose. That's basically what I'm doing. And as I'm walking down the street, all of a sudden I see this fucking lady walking towards me. All right? She didn't look like she was on meth, but she didn't look like she wasn't on meth. She didn't look like a hooker, but she didn't look like, you know, maybe she didn't suck a dick every once in a while for 20 bucks. She's one of those maybe people, right? So immediately, my inner sort of defense system kicked in. And the first thing when you look at somebody crazy, you kind of look to see if they have a weapon. And once you see that they don't, you then kind of maybe glance around to see if they have a partner, right? No partner, coast is clear. And then there's the last thing you got to worry about. Don't get scratched. So I'm walking and she's fucking diagonally coming towards me as I'm on the phone. She's going, excuse me, sir. Well, actually, let me do it correctly with the audio. She's far away walking towards me. Excuse me, sir. Sir, excuse me, sir. And I just keep walking right by her. Sir, excuse me, sir. And I walk right by her. You know, just blow her off. And I just keep fucking walking. Trying to figure out why I didn't have enough radio to sell more tickets here in San Jose. And then all of a sudden she yells at me, you can at least acknowledge me. Which, of course, kicked into my temper and I immediately turned around. I was like, I'm on the fucking phone. Right? Which immediately struck me as funny because that used to be, that conversation used to only happen indoors. That was like an indoor conversation, but now because of technology, the fact that I was walking on a sidewalk under a fucking overpass, I can actually scream, I'm on the phone. And it felt like oddly intimate, like I had a relationship with this person. You know what really pissed me off was at that point, once she got me to flip out, she completely ignored me. So now I wanted to be acknowledged. And she totally turned the tables on me, which I got to tell you, is one of the easiest things to do is turn the tables on somebody who has a fucking temper. That's happened to me my entire goddamn life. And I'm in a very torturous part of my life where, you know, back in the day, I didn't realize that that's what was happening. So I had that ignorant is bliss moment. But now It's a torturous time because I am completely aware of what a fucking fool I am. So if you're listening to this, lady, congratulations to you. You won that round. And speaking of ladies, how about the World Cup women's final? Did anybody watch that? It was fucking devastating as a fan of U.S. women's soccer that I became when I found out that they were in the finals. I got to tell you, I went down to a sports bar and I had an unbelievable time watching that game. It was a fucking awesome game. It was heartbreaking and that type of shit to see them lose it. And a lot of hotties on the team, too. A lot of fucking good-looking girls, their little thick thighs and their fucking tanned-up legs. You know, was hoping they were going to win it, but wasn't meant to be. And congratulations to the women's soccer team from Japan. You guys played an awesome game. You never said die. You came back. And I got to tell you, that fucking corner kick when they scored that second goal, how do you defend against that? That was fucking insane. Insane goal. And, you know, whatever. Obviously, I'm rooting for the U.S. ladies, but it was good. If anybody was going to win it, it was good for Japan, all the shit that they've been through this year. So now that I've patted them on the back, I have to ask the Japanese people a question. What the fuck was with all those Teen Wolf haircuts all the women had on your team? Can you explain those fucking haircuts? Like five of them. I swear to God, every time I saw it from behind, I thought it was Michael J. Fox. Unfucking believable. There's no excuse for it either. Back in the day, you know, if you lived in the middle of nowhere or you lived on the other side of the world and you weren't up on what the style was, I could see you having a Teen Wolf haircut and not realizing that the last person to have that haircut was, I think, maybe Dennis Miller on one of the last episodes. He kind of got away with rocking the mullet for a long fucking time, that guy. But now there's the internet. There's really no excuse. It wasn't all the ladies on the team, but there was like five of them. It was like, what the fuck? I don't know. What was I supposed to do? Just 100% congratulate him? Go fuck yourselves. Everybody gets shit on this goddamn podcast. As did I. Somebody gave me shit on Twitter. Said they came out to see my show. Said I saw Bill Burr at the Improv. And it was 1 hour of the exact same joke. I somehow missed the funny part. And I got to tell you, that one really stung. You know why? Because I think she was right. I just fucking went off on this goddamn tirade. I don't know what's where my act is right now. It's just like I've come to the end of trashing women. I'm just sick of doing it. And I had one show where I just started on this fucking trashing woman thing, and I don't think I pulled up the entire fucking show. I'm sure a lot of guys liked it, but I could really see. Actually, tonight, I think I had one of my most balanced shows of the weekend because of that woman's criticism. I think she was 100% right, because I kind of thought back to my act. I was like, well, for the first 3 minutes, I wasn't trashing women, and then for the next hour and 12, I think I was. Guilty as charged, everybody. So anyway, speaking of sports, did anybody watch the ESPYs last week? Anybody watch those or watched them on Wednesday? Me and Paul Verzi, my friend outside of this business and within the business. He opens for me on a lot of East Coast dates, right out to about Minnesota. I think it's the first. Oh, that was DeRosa. What the fuck was the furthest west I've gone with him? Oh, who gives a fuck? Let's plow ahead here. We actually submitted some jokes. We were sitting there going, you know, we're always joking around about sports. We're always breaking each other's balls. I had an in. I knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew Seth. And I said, fuck it, let's submit some jokes. We actually got a couple on. I was psyched. And then I ended up getting some tickets. Me and Nia went down. I went to the ESPYs, everybody, like a fucking big shot. You know, it's funny. I actually got to walk the red carpet and there's all these giant fucking, and it was awesome. It was, walking a red carpet is as awesome as you would think it is. And, except when no one knows who the fuck you are. Then you feel like an asshole, you know? fucking walking like Dirk Nowitzki standing there. Just won a fucking NBA championship. And I'm like, I'm playing the San Jose Improv next week if anybody cares. I tried to make an excuse that the reason I didn't hang out was because it was too sunny. I didn't hang out because nobody knew who the fuck I was. If they knew who I was, I would have sat standing there running my fucking yap. But anyways, we ended up going inside, right? You know, it was awesome. I don't bug people for pictures. You know, I just don't do that shit. But there was Dr. fucking J. Dr. J was sitting about five rows down. And I was in the middle, and there was like 20 people to the right, 20 people to the left of me. And he was sitting right on the aisle because, you know, he's got long legs, and also they want to cut to him when they're shooting people. And he was standing there, and like a bunch of fucking nerdy white guys like me were walking up, and he was shaking their hands and getting their picture. And I'm just sitting there going, that's Dr. J. I got to do it. I got to fucking – are you kidding me? That guy, like this entire ESPN is standing on his shoulders. This is the original guy. The original winner of the fucking dunking contest. The original guy who took the game above the rim. The best fucking afro. The guy who saved the ABA that caused the ABA to combine with the NBA. The best fucking nickname. Those Celtics 76ers series of the early 80s, some of the best basketball I ever saw. Julius Jams Jinx. Remember that cover of Sports Illustrated when they got by the Celtics? That fucking 1983 team. Fo. I got to get a picture with this guy. And when I finally said, fuck this, I'm doing it. Right as I stand up, the announcement was, attention, please. Everybody shut off your cell phones. The award show is going to begin in just a minute. And then he sits down. I was like, fuck. All right, fuck this. I'm gonna get a shot. I'll get a picture with him at the end of it, right? And then all of a sudden the show starts. Seth Meyers comes out, and now I'm sitting there all nervous, going fuck, because I had a feeling, you know, that maybe we were gonna get a couple on, and he ended up doing two jokes, and thank God they both did well. And I don't know, man. It was a rush. It was definitely a fucking rush. I was always wondering if I could write for somebody else. First of all, if I could do it. And then secondly, how I would I be bummed as an egomaniac comedian that I didn't tell the joke? Would it bother me? And it didn't. I got a different sort of thrill out of it. I was so fucking nervous. I was like, oh my God, what if I write him something and he says it and it bombs? You know? And then he's up there looking like a jerk off because of me. You know what I mean? That's like accidentally shooting somebody in your own platoon. Then you got to fucking live with that. You know? So thank God they did well. And I was able to relax and enjoy the rest of the show. And then the end of the show comes. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get this picture with Dr. J. And there's like 20 fucking people. I have to try and step over. They all stand up at the same time. And, you know, he's Dr. J, so he just gets ushered out. And I keep thinking that I can somehow zigzag through people, and I just see his fucking silver afro. It's not an afro. It's cut down, you know, short now. And he's like 6'6 or whatever. And I just watch him slowly disappearing into the crowd, and then it was over. I didn't get the goddamn picture. I didn't seize the day. But it ended up being a great night. And, you know, I don't know. Me and Verzi were like two little girls all excited that we actually got something on there. So there you go. There's a happy story. How about that? Every week I'm always fucking angry on this goddamn thing. And, you know, look at that. I believe that might have been the first feel-good story that I've ever told on the podcast. How did that feel? Did it make you feel uncomfortable? All right, well, let's get back to trashing people then. How about that? Here's something for you. Like, I don't know what all the fascination is with redheads are lately. I don't know if it's because South Park did that Kick a Ginger Day, but, like, I've never felt like more of a freak in my life. There's just all this shit coming out. You know, somebody sent me an article. It says, do redheads need extra anesthesia? And evidently, it said, it goes, it's bad enough that redheads, and then they go, or gingers, as our British friends call them. Since when have they been our friends? You should just say, or gingers, because South Park made that fucking mainstream. You know, give credit where credit's due. All right? Actually, you know what? I kind of like that they actually say that that's a British word, because I always get weirded out when people say that. Because it sounds like you're like auditioning for Lock, Stock, and Two Fucking Barrels, whatever the hell the name of that movie is, because I've always known that word over there. And to hear fucking people in like Indiana use that, you know, considering they've never been to Europe, it always strikes me as funny. You know, like out of nowhere, they're just like, going, hey, top of the morning to you. So anyways, it says bad enough that redheads may one day be extinct. You know, what a way to start it. Right off the bat, evidently we're like dying out. Ah, Jesus, can you imagine being the last one on Earth? Ugh, I thought I had a bad childhood. Holy shit. Now we find out that people with red hair need more anesthesia than other people do. Okay, what the fuck? Like, I don't already feel like enough of a freak. I get it. I don't look like other people. I'm one step away. Like, albinos don't get as much shit as redheads do lately. All right, a 2002 study conducted by researchers at the University of Louisville, Kentucky. And I guarantee you nobody from Kentucky was doing that research. That's all people from smart states. They couldn't get a job at other schools, so then they go to Louisville. There's not one smart person in Kentucky, I guarantee you. Oh, fucking relax. I'm giving you shit. I know there's smart people. What's his face? Muhammad Ali was from there. One of the quickest minds of all time, right? Anyways, proved what anesthesiologists, doctors who oversee the administration of anesthesia, like we didn't know what the fuck that was, have believed for some time that redheads are more difficult to knock out. Okay. As much as that's stroking my ego like we're stronger than you fucking pigment bastards, how the fuck did they figure – I like that. That they prove what doctors who administer anesthesia have believed for some time, that it's harder to put redheads under. Really? Do you care to tell some stories of some horrified freckle-faced people waking up during the middle of a fucking appendectomy? Did I say that right? Researchers at the University of Louisville chose 20 test subjects, all women, all ladies aged 19 to 40. 10 were redheads and 10 were brunettes. The dark-haired subjects were in the control group. Now you just lost me. What the fuck does that mean? You just said there were 10 redheads, 10 were brunettes. The dark-haired subjects were in the control group. I don't have a science background. What does that mean? The redheads are too wild. You can't control them. The research, does that mean that's harder to roofie a redheaded woman? some Persian psycho just sitting there wondering how many he's got to drop in a fucking drink. Oh, Jesus Christ. Fuck you. Let's plow ahead. Here we go. At all 20 women were given... Oh, who gives a shit? I can't even read half this stuff here. Desflurane, a common gas anesthesia. After the anesthesia took effect, the researchers gave each woman electric shocks. Jesus Christ, are we in a recession or what? The fact that people would actually sign up for this, would you give them a Walmart gift card? What was the average amount of teeth of the people in this 19 to 40 fucking group of women? Huh? How many were actually pregnant and you fucking looked past it? Well, they're in the first trimester. It's okay. After the anesthesia took effect, electric shocks using a voltage which a conscious person would have found intolerable. If the subject could feel the pain, the researcher increased the dosage of desflurane and continued to administer shocks until they got no response to the shocks. Dude, what year did they do? Was Joe Kennedy around when they did this? Did they give somebody a fucking lobotomy at the end of this? The researchers' findings showed that the old anesthesiologist adage is true. Redheads do require more anesthesia. In fact, it took an average of 20% more. See, I could have fucking told you that. All those pasty face mix with their fucking red hair drinking down the pub. Is all you fucking Calypso bastards have passed out underneath the fucking bar. We knew that. Anesthesiologists have a dangerous job, and it takes a large degree of skill to properly put someone. I don't give a fuck about you guys. It's all about me. So there you go. I can't tell if I find that a complimentary story or what. I don't know. Just like I already felt weird enough. Thank you. Thank you for sending me that. If you guys can send me more information about redheads, that makes me feel like more of an outsider. I would really appreciate that. Oh, by the way, I actually have Breaking Bad on in the background on mute. I've already seen this episode because I was lucky enough to get an advanced copy here. So, but I have it on mute because I want them to get credit. You know? You only get credit for fucking viewers is if they watch it live. Because if you TiVo it, the advertising companies are like, well, look, when people TiVo shit, when they TiVo shows, they just fast forward to through the commercials, so we're not paying for that. So I don't know why I decided to tell you that. Maybe because it was a way I could all of a sudden bring up the fact that I'm going to be on episode 3. Huh? Please watch it this season, everybody. It's the best fucking show on TV. And you'll get to see me for a couple of seconds. You know? Wouldn't that be nice? To put a nice face to these happy words that are coming into your fucking ears at this point. All right, let's plow ahead with the podcast. All right. Oh, hey, by the way, I have gone, as of Saturday, 9 months without booze. I'm trying to go a year, people. I'm 3 fucking months away. This is my part of my cleaning up my life thing. All right? I've gone 9 months with no booze. I've got myself to the point where I don't fucking lose my temper in the car anymore. You know, if you walk down the sidewalk and you yell at me, you're on your own on that one. But, and now I have gone a little over 24 hours without watching online porn. So, yeah, that's the next demon I'm trying to get out of my life. Oh, it's going to be great. I'm just going to go all the way back. Gradually go back to the innocence of who I was when I was a kid. And then what's great is because I'm an adult and I'm an egomaniac, I'll then find Jesus and I'll start preaching to you guys on this podcast as if I wasn't a complete piece of shit for the last fucking 15 years of my life. Yeah, so yeah, I'm trying to stop watching online porn. You know, I'm going to try to go old school. I'm going to try to use the old fantasies, use the old noodle. Right? Little Libsyn for you. Little brain games. Hey, anybody out there know a good website that has spelling tests? I want to become a better speller. I'm just sick of being a fucking moron. You know? As I was trying to write jokes this week, the amount of shit that for the ESPYs, the amount of fucking people that I can't fucking, the words that I just cannot spell is beyond me. I'm good with the little ones. You know, like fuck, cunt, you know, shit you can't get on TV. But like words like apparently, which is a great word for a monologue joke. Zabba dabba dabba dooba dooba doo. Apparently, yada yada yada, right? You got to be able to spell apparently if I'm going to have any sort of fucking career. Oh, Jesus, Bill. I just drove this podcast right down a fucking alley. I'm sheared off the side view mirrors. Is it going to be garbage cans blocking it? Let's go to this next thing here. Oh, here's some information. Tiger Woods, somebody sent this in. Tiger Woods' wife is back in action. Tiger Woods' ex-lady is back in action. Heartbroken Ellen Nordregen. However the fuck you say her goddamn name. Heartbroken. She's heartbroken, everybody. She got $250 million in the divorce settlement. And she has her own island. And she has the fucking nerve to be heartbroken. You know, what is with these broads? You know what amazes me about women who marry unbelievable men like Tiger Woods or Sugar Shane Mosley, right? Men of unbelievable accomplishment, men of astounding achievement, men who are in the record books. what their sense of fucking entitlement that they have to the spoils of the pressure that their husbands dealt with is just fucking beyond me. I get it. Tiger Woods, you were married to the lady. You cheated on her. She's pissed. She wants to have her fucking, you know, she wants to go her separate way. She wants some fucking money. But the fact that she feels she's entitled to that much of the fucking money and she never had to sink a putt. What do you think would happen to her if she was standing on the goddamn, wherever the fuck you, I don't golf, wherever you tee off, the tee off spot, right? It's not the green. The fuck do you call that? I'll meet you at the thing with the little balls there that you tee off for the fucking tee off place. Can you imagine if she had to tee off in front of not only millions of fucking people, you got like 300 people on either side of the fairway, and if you hook or slice, somebody's going to die. She can never handle that pressure. She's worth $250 million. She's a nanny. She's a fucking nanny. And she got half as much money as Jerry Seinfeld got for creating and writing the greatest sitcom of all time. And what does she do? Sit around a pool? French fucking manicure, pedicure, getting your hair fucking highlighted, you know? So anyways, evidently she's heartbroken, everybody. Yeah, forget the people in Japan. That's, you know, what would they know about heartbreak, you know? Sure, the tsunami, whatever. This poor woman. Do you know, I'll tell you something. You know what it is most people in Japan, they live in smaller houses. So I think the problem with is that Ellen, she has to live in these gigantic houses by herself, so she feels way more lonely. So that's why I think she's she's so much more heartbroken. So anyways, heartbroken, Ellen, I don't even know her fucking name because she's never achieved anything in her life. Nordgren. She's found love again, everybody. With, wouldn't you know it, a wealthy American investor, James Dingman. Ellen, who divorced cheating golf great Tiger Woods. You believe that? All the achievement that Tiger Woods, all his accomplishments, his first credit now is cheating. How about greatest golfer of his generation, winner of 14 majors, and known cheater, Tiger Woods. following a series of scandals with multiple women, has been dating Dingman. And this guy is the son of a billionaire, Michael Dingman. She's been dating him for months. Friends say Jamie is an accomplished emerging markets veteran who has represented his father's interest in China for the past 6 years. In the mid-90s, he specialized in Russian private equity funds. He also owned an IndyCar racing team sponsored by World Childhood Foundation, a charity founded by Queen Silvia of Sweden. The charming bachelor has previously dated Bridges Moynihan. I don't know who the fuck that is. Mother of Tom Brady's baby. He was linked last year to Princess Mandeline of Sweden. See, you know something? I don't know if this Ellen is a genius or if she's a fucking moron. Because if she thinks this guy isn't going to cheat on her, she's out of her mind. Hey, Ellen, you want a faithful guy? Why don't you start with someone who can't afford a private jet, who can fly thousands of miles away from your pussy and your eyeballs? Why don't you start with that? You know, what is your prerequisite for jumping on a cock? They have to be a billionaire? Huh? You gold-digging whore? How come you can't find love? Some guy works in a warehouse. I don't know. You know what she's going to do? She's working her way up. You know what Ellen's basically doing? Is she's sucking the right dicks. I got to tell her that. I got to tell you that. This is genius. So Tiger was a billionaire. She fucking walks because he banged some fucking chick at a Hooters, right? So she says, all right, to hell with you. And I'll take, let's see, even though we have a prenup and I'm only entitled to $5 million, let's work it out and I'll get a quarter of a fucking billion. So now she jumps to another billionaire. This lady, she doesn't even fuck with millionaires. So now she's going to this fucking poor bastard, right? She's going to get her hooks into him. And, you know, that'll probably last another 6 years or whatever. Then she's going to get another 250, right? She's worth half a billion. Figure at that point, she'd maybe be like 35. Maybe she can slide in another fucking billionaire. You know, that'll be another 250. She's worth three quarters of a fucking $1 billion. She invests her money, right? She gets 25% on that. She's a billionaire. She did it. There you go, ladies. That's how it's done. If you're not going to choose love, that's the way you do it. You know what the greatest thing about all of it is? She'll be painted as a victim the entire time. Heartbroken. Heartbroken. How come it doesn't say heartbroken gold digger? Ellen Nordgren. Ellen. Why don't you go fuck yourself, huh, lady? All right. What else do I got? This is a brutal week for guys. Sugar Shane Mosley's getting a fucking divorce, and he's got to pay all this fucking money out. All right? And his ex-wife is getting his championship belts. That's one of the cruelest things I've ever heard in my life. And she's trying to play it off going, well, I'm just keeping him for the kids, and the kids will get him when they're 18. First of all, no, you're not. All right? That's passive-aggressive horseshit. You're trying to break the guy. That's evil, vindictive horseshit for you to take that. And secondly, the kids didn't put their life on the line in the fucking ring, so they don't deserve him. And if they do deserve him, it should be fucking Mosley should make the decision, because he's the one who put his life on the line. You fucking, what did you do? Let me guess, you supported him? That's your big entitlement? Oh my God. Let's just plow ahead here. Let's try to have something a little more sunshiny. You know, I encourage women to write into my podcast. I've been begging you guys for the last 6 months to a year so I can balance this out, because I don't want to keep trashing women. It's just so fucking easy. So here we go. I got this woman wrote in. Thank God a woman wrote in. Please write in. Trash guys. I know we're morons. I need balance here. This is as balanced as MSNBC or Fox News. I want to smooth it out here. Here we go. All right. Some lady wrote in. All right. Toilet. Bill, I have a question about men and their bathroom habits. My husband and I have a great relationship. We just celebrated our 5th wedding anniversary and are very happy. Well, congratulations. Congratulations. You have something most people do not have. You have a happy marriage. Sorry, I got the hiccups. Anyway, she said, the only things we ever seem to argue about are manners and housework. We come from different backgrounds and were raised differently regarding manners. He doesn't believe that manners are important, while I do. We both had to adjust to this, and it has certainly been a process. My standards for living have been lowered, and his have been raised. We're somewhere in the middle at this point. He has really made an effort over the years in terms of cleaning up after himself and not being gross. But the one area that has always been a problem is the toilet. At first, he rarely put the seat down, and it drove me crazy. He's wicked smart. He went to Harvard and always philosophizes his way out of arguments. His main argument for leaving the toilet seat up is that it isn't fair. Women and men are equals, blah, blah, blah. He also likes to use the argument that gay men probably leave the seat up all the time. I'm an interior designer and have several gay male friends, and they all say they put it down because who wants to look at the inside of a toilet? The last thing I could say about it was, please just do it as a favor to me. He said he would, and I believed him. A few weeks ago, I was taking a bath, and I left the door ajar because he worries I'll drown or something if I lock the door. Well, look at that. He's a great guy. He's concerned about you. You know, there's a lot of people that could give a shit. So anyways, she's in the bathtub with the door ajar a little bit. He says he suddenly came in and sat down on the toilet in front of me. And I was stunned and asked, are you pooping? And he said, no, he was just peeing. So now he pees sitting down and insists that this is normal for men. This is where we are right now in the toilet seat argument. He thinks he's being considerate, but really he's just super stubborn about the toilet seat. He also has no problem of going to the bathroom in front of me, and I wish there was more of a boundary when it comes to the bathroom in general. This idea has infected my brain so much, it just seems so unmasculine to me to see a man peeing sitting down that it's now to the point that I think it's attractive when men pee standing up. So, Bill, what do you think? My husband loves your podcast and listens every morning. Yada, yada. What do I think? He's a great husband. He loves me, takes care of me, makes me laugh, and he's gorgeous. But the toilet issue weirds me out. All right, where to start? First of all, this whole toilet issue, this whole tradition that has basically been started, I don't know where it began, but how if the man leaves the toilet seat up, he's the biggest fucking asshole on the face of the earth. I don't understand it. I don't understand why we are required to do it. I've never heard a woman give me a good argument as to why. They say dumb shit like, so I don't fall in the toilet. And it's like, that's my fault? You fell in the toilet? Who in their right mind drops their pants and sits on something without looking at what they're sitting on? Do you understand that? You're out of your mind. That's on you. Like, why does the toilet have to be totally set up for you, but I can go fuck myself? How come when you're done with it, why can't you lift the seat up? If anything, it's easier for you to put the seat down than for me to put it up. I'm working against gravity, you know? And it'd be one thing if you said, oh, here's one for you, if you want him to put the seat down. Because this is what's really going on. You've nagged him enough, and it's annoying him that he has to put the fucking seat down. All right, so now what he's doing is what he's brilliant. He knows that peeing sitting down is weirding you out. Well, he's doing this passive-aggressive shit where he's like, all right, you want the seat down? Fine. I'm gonna start peeing sitting down like a woman and make it all fucking weird for you, and then I'm going to act like, no, this is more efficient. I like it. I'm enjoying this shit. He's playing the only card he has. I think it's fucking hilarious. This is my advice to you. If you want him to go back to peeing standing up and putting the seat down, basically your dream bathroom situation, why don't you give up something? Why don't you say, okay, if you do that for me, I will do this. You know? Why don't you say, like, look, if you go a month straight, and always put the seat down, after 30 days, I will give you the most insane blowjob you've ever had in your life. Okay, why don't you do something? Okay, instead of acting like you're fucking some sort of royalty and that everything should just be set up for you. All right? I agree with you. That's fucking weird. It's weird for me to picture him sitting down, but I think he's doing it in this passive-aggressive way, which is fucking hilarious to me. All right, there you go. That's what I would say. Blow him once a month as long as he keeps the seat down. That's my solution. All right? And God bless you, and congratulations on your good relationship. All right, moving on. Hey, Bill, I was just watching the news and saw this lady who cut off her husband's dick and then threw it into the garbage disposal, turning it on as she did so. Why is this behavior shown in women? Why is this behavior shown in women? A guy would have just left their wife, but women have to set your stuff on fire, cut up your car with keys. If you're in an argument with them, if they don't like what you say, they turn into a banshee and start slapping and cursing you out. Many decent guys have to sit there and take this shit, take it until they have had enough and the female can't. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really butchering this. Oh, it's how this guy wrote it. Unstill? That's not even a word, dude. Let me just try to plow through this. They had it until the guy's had enough and the female can't take the shit anymore. That's when shit like cutting off dicks, setting your shit on fire, scarring up your car and slashing the wheels on your car come into play. Do they think this is normal shit to do? And yes, I know a lot of women would never do these things. But they would agree at their little pussy pal meetings going, honey, chill. She did the right thing. Uh-huh. This fucking person's writing dialogue for me. Yeah, well, I mean, they're held to a different set of standards, both good and bad. You know, they're held to a different set of standards as far as sex goes. If they go out and did half the shit you did, they're whores. You're a stud. And when it comes to stuff like this, yeah, they get away with it. I don't know why. I don't know why they do stuff like that. They're very, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I think you're hard-pressed to find a guy who hasn't had his shit attacked by a woman. You know, I mean, obviously, if a woman cheated on me, I would be upset. I'd scream at her. I'd call her a bunch of names, call her a fucking whore. But I would never think to destroy her car or throw all her hooker ware out into the fucking yard and set it on fire. You know why? We can't do that shit, because when a guy goes ape shit like that, they call the cops and we get arrested. Dude, if you call the cops and they show up and your wardrobe's on fire, they're going to have all they can do to not start laughing, because they know why she did it, because you fucked around. And they're dirt bags too, so they're all going like, "Ah, you got caught, didn't you?" It's like that guy thing. We just fucking laugh. There's no solidarity amongst guys. We fucking laugh. I think that's why it is. But, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Most women aren't going to cut your dick off and throw it in the garbage disposal. You know, that woman is a fucking maniac. And you wait. I can't wait to see that trial, to see what she gets. You know, I she's going to get off. She'll get off somehow. Just be like, it was a crime of passion. She was a little bit crazy. Oh, my God, she's just a girl. She'll probably do like 6 months. All right, let's go to overrated, underrated for this week. I got to wrap this podcast up because I'm trying to get this thing up before midnight. And tomorrow's a travel day for me. Overrated, underrated for this week. These are great, by the way. Overrated nurses. I gotta go be careful on this. I have some friends who are nurses here. My wife and I just had our first baby, and she was in labor for a day and a half. Day and a half in labor. God bless her. I noticed as we went through about four shifts of nurses that every single one of them at some point managed to cram in how difficult their job was and how they're underpaid, have to work long hours, and don't get any respect. My wife is in excruciating pain, and I haven't slept for 2 days, so perhaps you feeling the need to nail yourself to a cross every time you carry your bloated ass down the hall to dole out an aspirin is falling on deaf ears. Jesus. We were right outside the nursing pen when those hogs sat around. Those hogs, what a great word, sat around the whole night cackling at shit jokes and knocking down Krispy Kremes as they patted each other on the back. Granted, I would have blown my brains out if I was stuck on the graveyard shift with that herd all night. But can we give this guy a round of applause for the amount of different creative ways he's been able to call these women fat? Bloated, hogs, and herd. You have a future in writing, my friend. Anyways, I'd blow my brains out if I was stuck on the graveyard shift with that herd all night, but it didn't exactly seem like the toughest job in the world. What really killed me is how they would go on to bitch about the doctors and how the doctors were all arrogant and don't know anything. I really felt like telling them, I get that both you and the doctor have papers hanging on the wall, but the difference is that his are medical degrees from Stanford and Princeton, and yours is an honorable mention from a community college and a Ziggy cartoon from 1989. Let's just say MD gets the tie and move on. What makes them overrated, here we go, let's get to the point, is that you can't call them out on their bullshit, because although they don't do much, they can make your life miserable while you're there. So instead of going off on them, I sent my dad out to refill their slop bucket with a couple dozen chocolate glazed. Underrated doctors. I know they get respect already, but they deserve more. No exaggeration. We spoke with the doctor for 10 minutes. She came in, looked at our charts, did some stuff on a few machines, then laid out three choices and recommended one. 45 minutes later, we had a healthy baby girl. Dude, that's fucking hilarious. But I got to defend nurses, and they do work their asses off and that type of shit. But I think a lot of it was your emotional. But you are making some point. Now, if they're sitting out there cackling about shit jokes, eating donuts, then Jesus Christ, did you deliver your fucking baby in a precinct? That sounds like a bunch of cop jokes to me. All right, here we go. Overrated. Hey, this ties into the other one. Peeing standing up is overrated. It's a real pleasure in the middle of the night to leave the lights off and pee sitting down, even during the day. And you just want to sit down for a minute. Sitting down while peeing is awesome. What is going on with the fucking men of this generation? They need to fucking... Thank God Oprah went off the air. Maybe we can fucking... Jesus Christ, something. Here's another thing. If I was fucking president, I would get one of those old B-52 bombers and I would spray cities with, like, male cologne. Some sort of germ warfare to make guys a little more fucking... I don't know. What happened to us? We did great right up until the 80s. All those Hardcastle and McCormick ridiculous testosterone shows where everybody had like a fucking cool car and they were banging a bunch of women, hairy chest and a fucking medallion. What happened to those days? Everybody's awkward now. Acting like you're 14 on a first fucking date. I can't relate to anybody on TV anymore. Underrated, jerking off to non-pornographic material. Oh, this will help me out. I almost find it more enjoyable to jerk off to someone, off to a thought of some girl I saw at a store, or to jerk off to some random girl I saw on TV. And then he loses all confidence, like he's a freak, and starts yelling at me. Don't you even dare say you've never done this, Burr. I know you go back to your hotel room after a show and jerk off to that big-titted whore in the front row. Hey, dude, listen. If this is what you want to do, stand by it. Don't try to drag me into your fucking world. I'm actually right there with you. Fucking yelling at me. Overrated. Going to the beach or boardwalk. Guess what? It's the exact same as it was the last 50 times you were here, but more expensive with more assholes. Isn't that the truth? Underrated. Trips to another city is underrated. There's always awesome shit going on in every city up and down the East Coast that you haven't done to death. Catch a game at Camden Yards. Check out one of the dozens of free museums in D.C. you haven't gone to since the 8th grade. Eat a cheesesteak where they signed the Constitution. See a random show at the Comedy Cellar. Walk the Freedom Trail. Actually, don't watch Walk the Freedom Trail. Visit Sam Adams instead. That was a good one. Underrated. Going into work hungover. This guy's like, this is amazing. Because I don't think I could do this. He says going into work hungover is underrated. You'd be amazed at what you can accomplish with half a functioning brain and a bad attitude. I'm one of those people that under normal circumstances would lose his dick if it wasn't Velcroed on. But when I'm hungover and at work, I can get done in 3 hours what usually takes me 3 days. Maybe it's that I subconsciously don't give a fuck and want to go back to bed. But I swear, I always drink like a sailor the night before I have to do a big project or go to a big meeting. That's a new one, dude, if it works for you. Last one, overrated, trying to bang girls you work with. I've tried this twice. One time it ended with me putting my hand into a telephone pole out of frustration from her being a manipulative whore. Yeah, but dude, you took the bait. You took the bait. I'll get back to it. I'll finish reading this. Seriously, most girls who will come across as easy at the office oftentimes are filthy cunts who end up fucking a traveling soccer team. And then all you hear about at work is how they have crabs and their piss is green. Instead of banging girls at work, I'll stick to low self-esteem girls who go to Starbucks and movies alone. Dude, that thing where you punch the telephone pole, I hope you learned something from that one, because you're making yourself the victim there. These manipulative whores, you're giving them all the power. Just know that they're manipulating you. Don't allow it to happen. All right? Figure it out. Don't lose your temper like me and scream I'm on the phone. All right, advice, and then this will be the end of it. Hey, Bill, I need some advice on picking up this chick. I saw her a few weeks ago at the gym, and she has huge fake boobs. I've never grabbed huge fake boobs. I want to grab huge fake boobs. She's always wearing really small, low-cut shirts. Of course she is. She wants to show off what she's got now. Whenever I see her, I get home, and I have to jerk off. And not mild jerking off. I mean double-handed shit. It looks like I'm giving myself the Heimlich, but my dick is in the way. See, ladies, this is why I want you to write in, because this is getting really fucking blue. This is like the ninth conversation about jerking off. And I know you're all sitting there with your nose wrinkled up and your brow furrowed. Well, do something about it. See, this is when I need Nia to come in and fucking rescue the podcast like she did last week. But I'm on the road, so there's nothing I can do. I got to plow through this. So anyways, he said, today I finally talked to her at the old drinking fountain. This is the fake-titted whore here. We're chatting about how people didn't work really hard at the gym, and I complimented her on how hard she works out. And then he says, yeah, I know it's cheesy. Fuck you, Burr. It's true. And I had to say something. Why is everybody coming at me? I didn't say it was cheesy. You fucking lost confidence in it. So anyways, he said, when I told her it, oh, the compliment, she tilted her head and said, thanks. Oh, Jesus. That's like one of the worst responses you can get. She said it as if I was a five-year-old giving her a flower. Some of you guys really ought to start doing stand-up. These are like a ridiculous level of funny. These last couple here, man, are really written well. She looks like she's probably older, maybe mid-30s, while I'm 22. Oh, Jesus. Okay. During our conversation, she said that she was so tired from the weekend, so I'm guessing she might be a partier. Very good police work. I'm not saying you're right, but I like the way you're thinking. You're trying to put the pieces together. I don't really party, but I'll smoke crack, sniff coke, and shoot heroin into my eyes as long as I can play with those little baby toes glued to the end of those watermelons she calls boobs. Ew, that's disgusting. I'm not sure if she is single or not. The proof I have that she's single, she has no wedding ring. But we're at the gym, so she may have taken it off. Proof that she isn't single, her titties are the size of Kelsey Grammer's head. Help me grab them titties for a night, Bill. All right. Okay, here we go. Where do I start with this one? Okay, so you're going after. I need a little more information. Is this okay? So she's obviously the girl with the big fucking fake tits. So she's wearing all those tight outfits, you know, and she's probably going into the weightlifting room, bending over and doing all that shit. Does she also wear a lot of makeup when she works out? I think if she wore a ton of makeup when she worked out, she actually might have talked to you for half a second, because that would have been a whole nother level of low self-esteem. But I don't know, dude. This is a hard one, because you're a lot younger than she is. She already gave you the, thanks. So obviously complimenting her is not the way to go. I think you got to fucking just sort of strike up. Now that you talk to her, just get into it. This is what I would do. Get into a whole fucking, every time you see her, you say what's up to her. Talk to her a little bit, but you got to have that I don't give a fuck attitude. I don't know, dude. I don't know. See, this is why I might need Nia on this one. All right. You know what? You know what it is? Because I'm using your jump off point where you already said, like, I really like, you know, you work out really hard, you know? Then she goes, oh, see right there. When she said, oh, well, thanks, I would have said, ah, geez. All right. I blew it on that one. I need to adjust it. So what the fuck would I do? How the fuck that? I don't know. What the fuck would I do? That's a hard. I never did well with those kinds of girls. I think this is why it's fucking me up. I'm trying to blame you, but I never did well with those girls like that. Big fake fucking tits. just screaming for attention. I never did well with them. So, and I got to tell you, dude, you know what's overrated? Big fake tits. They're fun to look at, but it's not like when you touch them, you can feel the fucking bag in there. At least the last time I did it. So last time I touched a pair of fake tits was probably, Jesus, a long time ago. Maybe like 10 years ago, actually touched them. But they've come up to me like when I'm in Dallas and they press up against you, you know, and they're taking pictures after the show. Dude, they have something alien in their fucking tits. It's and I tell you, they only look good when they're covered up. When they take them off, they're just standing there staring at you. It's weird. Titties shouldn't have a circle at the top. They should fucking hang down. They should be fun, you know, and move with the ocean. They should be sitting there looking at you like they're judging you. I don't know, dude. I don't know. I need more of your background. I got to know what your background. What, you got anything going on in your life? Anything you can invite her to? Like, I have nothing but the normal shit. Make her laugh and then steer the conversation towards sex. I don't know how to approach a fucking woman like that. God damn it, you stumped the fucking, I got diarrhea of the mouth. You absolutely stumped me. I have no fucking idea. I have no idea, but take this into consideration. There's a bunch of big-titted whores out there. All right, so you struck out with that one. I don't know what to tell you. Can I say that for another 10 minutes? I got nothing. Hour and 5 minutes in. All right, YouTube videos for the week. You know what? Fuck it. Why don't you go right up and ask her? Start talking about her tits. You know? Just go up and be rude. Put your gym membership on the line and just walk right up. Hey, how's it going? Just next time she comes walking around the corner with her big tits, just react to them. Jesus Christ. You're trying to hurt somebody with those things? Whatever. Just get it going with that. Get her giggling, laughing. I would just go down that. Just no respect. No respect for this woman. No respect for any sort of sexual harassment or anything. Fuck you and your big fake tits. They're right there. They're in my face and I'm talking about them. All right. I got an angle. I don't know if it's going to work, but that's what I would do. Next time, something like that. Jesus Christ with your big tits. Are you serious? Excuse me, what? Your big tits. The fuck? Fucking got to go home and jerk off every time. Can you wear a, how about a hoodie every once in a while? There you go. Fuck that jerking off part. You'll creep her out. Go that angle. Address how big her fucking titties are and then just act like you're overwhelmed. God, can you put a sweatshirt on? I'm having difficult fucking working out. Maybe go that route. This is like writing monologue jokes. I'm just throwing shit against the wall trying to find something funny. Start with that. All right, fuck her and her big goddamn tits. This is what I would do if I was you. Rub one out before you go to the gym. All right, so your balls aren't full, you know, telling you dumb shit in your head. So your balls are empty. You're thinking fucking clearly. All right? You know what it is? Her tits are like the bully at school. They're bullying you right now. And you're getting in your fucking head, and I'm in my head, and I even know what this bitch looks like. All right? So I think it's time you stood up to the bully. Call her out. Call her out on her big fake fucking tits and her little outfits. She knows what she's doing. Then I come up and I compliment you and you give me all thanks. You should have fucking, did you see that fucking punch Ortiz threw when he missed the Orioles pitcher where it wasn't a hook and it wasn't an uppercut? It sort of looked like a Kenta Culvey sidearm pitch. That's the way you should have slapped her fucking tits. Come at a fucking 35 degree angle. I'm sorry, brother. I got nothing. If anybody has an angle, if you can help this guy out, man down. All right? We need to help this guy out. This is what this podcast is about, making you laugh on Monday, helping you out in your personal lives. This kid wants to touch some fake titties. I got nothing. Help him out. All right, YouTube videos of the week. You got to go to the MM Podcast. You got to go to the mmpodcast.com. We got all these lined up. These are the funniest goddamn what we've had in a while. These are fantastic. So you don't have to go to YouTube and search all of these. You just got to sit there and you can just, you know, blow right through them in your fucking cubicle. Act like you're working, doing market research, whatever the fuck you're supposed to be doing. All right, YouTube video of the week, Frankie and Johnny. It's this furniture store, and this is one of the greatest commercials I've ever seen in my life. You know, like when a local store, they can't afford professionals, so they have the employees do the commercial. This is what they did, and these people are fucking brilliant. Jetpack fail. I know a lot of people saw this or saw it already. I actually watched it on the Jimmy Fallon show. It's awesome. Wild Caddy. You got to see this. This is actually a 59 for you guys gearheads out there. It's a 59 Cadillac two-door with the giant tail fins that somebody tricked out down in Australia. And the really interesting thing about this car is because it's in Australia, I've never seen it. It's a 59 Cadillac with the steering wheel on the right-hand side. It's insane. And the console in the middle is a replica of the tail fins on the back of the car. This car, it's definitely a $200,000 car, the amount of money this guy put in the car. It's fucking insane. Here's another great one. Restaurant owner bans kids. It's a local news story. This guy, he just banned kids under six years of age because they make too much fucking noise. And the guy, he's unapologetic. All these moms are complaining. He goes, no, you know, I understand that it's your kid and it's the center of your universe, but it's not the center of our universe. Basically said, go fuck yourselves. And it was great to see somebody stand up against the backlash. Fuck you. They make too much noise. Why are you bringing them to this restaurant? Fucking sitting there with applesauce in their hair. Can't even appreciate what the fuck we're cooking here. These people are like, oh, we always go here. I don't know where else to take my kid. Take him to Chuck E. Cheese. Take him to McDonald's. Why don't you make him a fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich if you're concerned about his health? Here's a great one. Sox fan grabs a boob during a Red Sox game. I got this one from Opie on Opie and Anthony. It's just fucking great. They cut into a couple of fans, and then, you know, they go, oh, look at those two nice couples. And the guy just reaches over and grabs this girl's titty. And Jerry Remy fucking loses it. It's just fucking hilarious. And then George Michael's saxophone guy, phenomenal. Just this guy playing the saxophone. You could just go look at him. I can't describe why they're funny. And here's another one I want to add. Bobby Kelly scared Opie from the Opie and Anthony show. It's just fucking awesome. The noise Opie makes is hilarious. We're going to have that video up there. And then there's another video where Opie and Joe DeRosa, the teen idol sensation from the Opie and Anthony program, try to scare Bobby Kelly, and they completely botched the job. And both of those clips. And if you're online, listen to the Opie and Anthony show. Get an XM player. I don't have any of the fucking information, but it's the best radio show for my money out there. And before I leave and wrap up the podcast, I want to thank everybody who's been making the generous donations. We have a donation button on the mmpodcast.com. It helps me pay my web guy. It helps me to reinvest, you know, all that type of shit. It also gives me some walking around money when I'm in San Jose. thank you to everybody who's clicked in. I'm really blown away by all the donations that I've got. And that is it. That's the podcast for this week. Everybody have a great week. Please watch Breaking Bad again next week. It's on 10 o'clock. On AMC, if you can. I know you guys are busy, but if you can watch it live, it just helps their ratings. Not that they need help, but why not? Why not have some more people on it? Like I said, I believe I'm in episode 3, possibly episode 2. I don't know. I think it's episode 3, and I'm beyond excited to be a part of that. And once again, thanks to Seth Meyers and everybody at the ESPYs for letting me and Paul Verzi submit our jokes and actually doing our jokes. It was a big thrill for both of us. That's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week. And how about those Pittsburgh Pirates? How about the first place Pittsburgh Pirates? It's 1979 all over again. Now if the fucking Orioles could just catch the Red Sox or the Yankees, that's my dream World Series. It's my dream World Series. I want to see the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Orioles have a rematch, and I want the Pirates to go back to those yellow on yellow with the yellow fucking hats. Kent Tecovy to throw out the first pitch, maybe John Candelaria. However the fuck you say his name, the Candyman, back when baseball was great. All right, that's the podcast. I'll talk to you next week.